Christianity is full of a lot of opposites. Sometimes being last is first and the first is last. And sometimes being alive is being dead and being dead is alive. Let's make sense of this on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Sometimes indeed religion has these opposites, and what Jesus says can be kind of confusing. We're looking at the book of Romans, and today we are on lesson 6 in chapter 6. We're looking at dying to live and being dead to sin. And how does this work? We're in the studio. My name is Justin Kim. We have Sebastian, Jonathan, and Siku in the studio with us, and we're going to have a word of prayer and jump into the book of Romans. We want you to study with us as well. Go to inversebible.org where you'll see a whole set of Bible studies there, and our newest one on the book of Romans. Prayer is going to be done by Jonathan. Jonathan, you're right there. Please pray for us.
Sure do need it.
Let's bow our heads. Father, I just want to thank you so much again for your word, because it is life and it teaches us so many wonderful things about your character.
Amen.
As we dive into today's topic, Lord, I want to pray that you will give us insight, direction, and may there be applications in this text for our lives individually, for everyone watching as well. I pray that your Holy Spirit will bring these things to life for us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sebastian, can you go to Romans chapter 6? We're reading from verse 5 through 11.
Yes, sir.
And that's the gist of the main part of chapter 6.
Okay. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Okay, thank you, Sebastian. I don't know if this is true, but anecdotally, I heard that there are law schools out there that study the book of Romans, not for its theological content, but for its logical consistency that's kind of setting brick by brick. And we see that in chapter 1. We all are in need of the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? Chapter 2, we are all sinners. Chapter 3, we're all sinners. No shock to God. Chapter 4, let's be like Abraham, who was accounted from righteousness.
Right.
Chapter 5, what Adam started, Jesus ended, and is still going on, I can say, in chapter 6. We are in chapter 6 right now. Siku, first question goes to you, but I want to kind of, you know, make it random, and you guys already, your adrenaline is running. Romans is just is an awesome book, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many verses here, and just a wonderful book. Just speed, machine gun style, except I don't know if that's an American thing.
Rapid fire?
Rapid fire, that's also an American thing.
Okay.
Really quickly,
yes.
What are some Bible verses that come to your mind from the book of Romans that are just your favorites? Mm-hmm. And that's not even from chapter 6, but just from the whole book of Romans that you appreciate. Romans is a classic text where many classic verses come from. And we've been looking at the promises of God, yeah? Mm-hmm. And immediately when you look at what are some famous all-time favorites from the book of Romans, we'll go from Siku and go around the table and just share. So Siku.
My favorites are just favorites?
Just favorites from the book.
Oh, okay. I mean, we talk about Romans 3, verse 23.
We
all have sinned and come short of
That's one of your favorite verses.
No, I mean, you said general classic.
Siku wants to make sure everybody knows you come short, Sebastian.
All right, she's been quoting this left and right when she's talking to everyone.
We all fall short. That's what she says when she makes a mistake.
Right. All right, Jonathan, we'll come back to Siku. Give her time to rebound.
I have a personal favorite.
We'll come back to you, Jonathan.
Well, mine is actually from a future episode, which is Romans 8, talking about, you know. Well, we all like Romans 8, let's be real, but talking about nothing can separate us from the love of Christ.
Okay.
You know, that's just, I can't wait to get into that episode.
Oh, okay.
But that's, yeah.
All right, very good. I think you're on that episode. Okay, Sebastian?
I think I love from chapter 1 the whole fact that Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
All right.
I feel like that verse really just has a certain radical bend to it. Just to say, like, I am not ashamed of something.
It does.
Especially in the context. And today, a lot of people are very focused on political correctness and all of
There's
that.
There's audacity there.
Exactly.
Yeah, there is.
Just defiance. And I'm naturally a very defiant person.
Very good. Very good. All right.
The Lord is working on me.
Be quiet. All right. I'm just trying to defy your defiance. So, anyway. Sekou, we'll come back to you.
I'll give another general one.
Another general one.
Okay. Romans 6:23.
Yes.
And this, I actually really like this one too. For the wages of sin is death, but I like the contrast, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Justin, what's your favorite verse?
All things work together for good. 8:28 is a classic one. And then Romans 12:1, I just like, therefore, be renewed in your mind.
Right.
And, those are some classic verses that I like.
That's true.
As you said, chapter 8 is a classic one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when it comes to experience, chapter 6 also takes, not into one verses, but the entire chapter really is a cohesive punch together. In each chapter, there's this one word that's repeated over and over and over. In chapter 6, it's the word death or dying. Death, 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 dying, 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 dying.
Yep.
So from the reading of what Sebastian just read from 5 through 11, verses 5 through 11, what are some things that come out from the text immediately when you look at this? Sekou.
The thing that popped out to me was having freedom from sin. Because the death experience, the whole purpose of why he's, you know, talking about it is he's trying to explain how we live now free from sin because of the death experience that we go through with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So really it's about freedom.
Okay.
You know,
let's scratch a little deeper on that and we'll get to Jonathan. But freedom from sin is what? Is that addictions? Is that, I mean, that sounds, I just want to get deeper into that nomenclature because some people may not understand what that means. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be free from sin?
I want to give you a textual answer.
That's okay.
Well, I think when we dive into the question of being free from sin, you also see that he says in the previous verse of chapter six, verse six, he says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So to be free is opposition to slavery.
Yes.
Right? So in slavery, you're oppressed. You cannot make your own choices. You're completely owned on this thing. And you're always available to it, right?
What is this body of sin that has had mastery over us? Mm-hmm. What is that?
So, you know, since Adam fell, you know, since Adam ate the fruit and disobeyed God, ever since then, humanity has an inclination to sin, right?
Yes.
And then, you know, when God comes and encounters Adam in the garden, he says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the serpent, right?
Yes.
So that God had to supernaturally put enmity, because what Adam did was he aligned himself with this enmity against God. Mm-hmm. So God now had to come and supernaturally put enmity against sin. Mm-hmm. So any inclination that we have to do right is because God supernaturally put it there, you know, to be anti-sin. Mm-hmm. So in our natural state, because of Adam's sin, we are inclined to do the things that are wrong.
I love that. I love that word, inclined. I don't love the word because of
it. It's all right.
It helps me understand. It's very clear that we are not held liable and guilt for Adam's sin. We are not responsible for what Adam did, right? But we do have that weakness, that bent, that inclination, that body of sin that we have. We are made in the image, not of God anymore, but in the image of Adam.
And this is what we studied in chapter 5. We saw that as a result of Adam's sin, we have this inclination. There's a domino effect throughout history, and all the wickedness and evil is from sin.
Yes.
But what is so beautiful we learn in chapter 5 is that we have another option, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And this ties right into Romans chapter 6, because here now in these verses that we read, and before and after as well, Paul is doing an interesting thing. He's aligning Jesus' physical experience here on earth, living here, dying here, getting resurrected here, with our spiritual walk. So you have our spiritual pathway aligns with Jesus' physical experience on earth. And because we make him our new Adam, as we learned in chapter 5, him our Savior, we now can, because of him, experience, you know, as it says here, death to sin, resurrection to life, life, a life for God, and we will have, you know, become more and more like Him in the process. So it's just a beautiful alignment with God and the history of Jesus, what He did and His life that He lived, really informs our spiritual walk.
Let's go to Sebastian and then back to Siku. Sorry, he's been Brother Sebastian.
I still love you, sis. So the reality that Adam created, right? Mm-hmm. It goes both ways, right? Mm-hmm. The parallel of Adam's experience physically also represents our spiritual experience.
That's right.
So his mistake, right, spiritually, right, we're in this reality, in this baptism into Christ's death, is us exiting that reality.
That's right.
Right, mm-hmm. Entering into Christ's reality, mm-hmm. where now he's created an entrance for us through his death physically. Mm-hmm. You know, now we can go through that into a new reality.
Yes.
Now I'm no longer a slave to sin. Those tendencies are no longer having to have dominion over me.
Right.
Now Christ can have dominion over me.
Oh, that was my next question, and I really appreciate how you phrase that. So this body of sin, which is us, you know, we have this inclination, we have where you just, you know, gravitate towards these bad things and pride and sin. Now that we are in Christ, do those inclinations go away? Mm-hmm. Does that tendency go away?
Right.
Or do they stick around?
No, they stick around.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But you don't have to be slaves to them.
Okay. Right.
See, that's the difference in entering into that reality with Christ, is that it doesn't have to reign over me, which he's going to get to in chapter 6. Don't let it reign.
Yes.
Reckon your body dead to sin.
Yes.
So it's about your mental reckoning. Mm-hmm. How do you consider yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And if you identify as I'm dead to this and I'm alive to God and I'm going to present my members to him as instruments of righteousness.
And we have to tolerate this inclination.
That bend.
Until the final the body is changed, what we call glorification. But we don't have to be slaves to that inclination.
Right. Not at all.
And praise the Lord.
I mean, look at the old song, Rock of Ages, right? When it says, be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from the guilt and power.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have that, you know, through the blood, through the sacrifice of Christ, even in the songs that we sing, we're heading towards that.
Amen.
That
appreciate level. Quoting from the song, not singing the song. All right, so Siku.
I'm going to bring you off show. It's all right.
You got a CD coming out.
Right. Hold on. I thought it was Rock of... Let me stop.
Please. I said thank you, Sebastian.
You let him speak first, so he took where I was going.
Oh, okay.
No, I was going, like when I said I was looking for textual anchor, and in verse 6, you know, the slaves
chapter
to sin.
Chapter 6, verse 6. Yes.
We were talking about what does it mean to be dead to sin, that slaves of sin, and then verse 12, I think, too, which, you know, Sebastian just mentioned as well, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So, like, that dead, being dead to sin really speaks to the way that you interact with this inclination that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And what Jesus has done, when we accept his sacrifice in our behalf, what Jesus has done, he's given us the opportunity to not do the things that we're inclined to do.
Mm.
That I want to and I'm inclined to do this, but you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you actually have a choice again. And it's crazy to think, without Jesus, you don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You're bound to do those things.
Mm-hmm. How many of you there are really struggling with something going on and you feel like this has a reign over you? You don't want to miss the second half of this episode. Stay with us.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, so welcome back. So, I mean, this is a powerful chapter. If you're just coming in listening to this, then I don't know what to tell you. You got to rewind or do something. But chapter 6 of Romans is where we're at. And let's go to chapter 6, verse 15. Mm-hmm. And continuing on, let's pick up in 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Mm-hmm. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. not? Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Mm. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Mm-hmm. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you are presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been talking about inclinations and tendencies and then having victory. Now, he brings in this new concept of being slaves to righteousness. Mm-hmm. I got lost here. So help me out here. What's going on? I thought we were freed from being slaves, and now we're entering another form of slavery?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In verse 19, he does say, I speak in human terms.
I speak in human terms. Okay.
So he's like, I'm trying to help you understand a concept here,
okay,
right?
Okay.
So you understand that you were slave to sin because you had no choice in the matter. You were inclined to behave in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, he's saying, now you can be under a different mode of operating.
Okay.
Where you are shifting inclinations,
mm-hmm.
the trajectory of your actions now moves from, you know, tending to doing things that are wrong to tending to do things that are right.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love that.
Right? So like he's saying, yes. I'm trying to explain a concept to you. I speak in human terms.
Yeah.
So I think, we can get hung up on the human terms, on the word slavery, mm-hmm. but he's still talking about inclinations that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What Paul is trying to show us is there are only two paths in life.
Mm.
You can either follow the path of your sinful inclination of sin and just, you know, wickedness,
mm-hmm.
or you can say, I choose God's path. And the beauty of God's path is, you know, a slave to righteousness, it is a decision to live according to God's principles. But that does not mean that you have no choice or mm-hmm. You are obedient to God's law, you're obedient to God's will. But when we look at the complete context of Scripture, we see that that kind of obedience is full of freedom.
Mm.
It's you're expressing love in so many ways as you live that kind of life. But I think the point he's trying to make is there is a choice you have to make. You either mm-hmm. You're either with God or you're with sin.
And it seems like we are slaves regardless of the situation.
Yes. Correct.
But we have the ability to choose what kind of master we will serve.
Absolutely. We get to choose a new king, right? When you think about your life, and I think about what my life was like before Jesus,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about these things that were ruling over my life. And when you think about your former king, right, mm-hmm. in the context of Romans, right, using those human terms, it's unimaginable mm-hmm. that you would not choose a new king mm-hmm. with the opportunity.
That's right.
Right. We do the same thing with elections. We do the same thing in committees. We do the same thing in chairmen and CEOs. It's like under this person, mm-hmm. this is what we suffered. This is what we had. Now we want a new king, right? Because we don't want this person to rule over us. And Paul is like, listen, how would you continue in sin, right? Because now that you're no longer under the law, you're like, well, I'm not under the condemnation. I don't have to deal with the penalty. I'm now free. Why would you go back to working under that king?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you vote the very person that led you to the misery that you're in again?
Mm.
You would obviously choose a new king.
Mm.
And so I think this idea that obedience is a new thing is not new, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same obedience we were doing before. It's just choosing a new king.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And just to continue with that, whereas before being slaves to sin, I think with the clarify on choosing different kings, being slaves to sin, this is the kind of king where while you're obeying, you don't have a choice in the obedience,
mm-hmm.
right? But under God's kingdom, at any point you can choose not to do what is right,
mm-hmm.
right? And I mean that's a stark difference. So, mm-hmm. although both of them are slavery, in both senses you're serving one master or the other.
Mm.
But the difference is like when you're a slave to sin, that master doesn't give you can't be like, well, I don't want to do this anymore. You're stuck. You know, you're mm-hmm. struggling with this addiction and you can't get out of it no matter how
yes.
much you try.
Mm-hmm.
You lie and you mm-hmm. fight. You catch yourself in a white lie every other day. You know, it's
yes.
part of who you are, right?
Yes, yes.
Whereas when God is the master of your life, you can be like, okay, you know, I kind of want to lie,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this situation. You can choose to lie. Adam and Eve chose to disobey.
Right.
But they were free to make that choice, you know. and they made the wrong choice. They chose to become slaves to a master who would not give them the freedom to make the choice to leave.
Correct.
You know, but with God, we will always have the choice still to remain or to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, but what God does in that experience with Him, whereas before every inclination of my heart was evil continually, God transforms me so that the inclinations of my heart tend more towards Him. Like, as I come to know Him more, yes. I want to do those things that please Him. Yes. And the desire to do the things that would turn me away from Him becomes less and less and less, you know, like that draw mm-hmm. diminishes over time, and I want more to do what would please God,
right.
you know. So in that sense, I guess when I was talking about mm-hmm. inclination, you know, so I now have a desire to serve God. I have yeah. a desire to follow what He's doing. And in a sense, you know, slavery in terms of I'm inclined to obey God. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm incapable of mm-hmm. disobeying Him, mm-hmm. but I want to obey
yeah.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Awesome. You know, if we have, if you know, the receivers of this letter, they have, you know, they've heard all the previous chapters. So it's so important that we always take things in context. And what has been revealed to us so far is a beautiful God, a God of love, a God of righteousness, a God of peace, a God who has given Himself for us, right? Mm-hmm. So, and why am I mentioning this? It's because it's very easy to say, oh, you know, now you're a Christian, you got to do all these things. But the motivation, you kind of alluded to this, the motivation for obedience needs to come from my relationship with God and seeing what an amazing and beautiful God He is. My master, to whom I'm now a slave of righteousness, a servant, is not a master that I have to, you know, to be afraid of and who's going to, you know, constantly just be on my case. He is for me. He is loving. And we're going to see more of, it's a crescendo towards chapter 8, right? But we see that the motivation for obedience, for doing what is righteous, is a God of love. And so, you know, we even see this here in this chapter. In verse 11, it talked about we are being made alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's so positive. We have to remind ourselves, and this is really, we have to remind ourselves, as we walk through life, there are temptations. It's not always easy, you know. Our sinful nature is still there, right? Screaming at us, like, come on, you know, give in. But we have to remind ourselves, why not to do that? Think of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Think of what He did on the cross. Think how beautiful He is. And not just how nice, but how the sacrifice He went through, you know, for you.
Which I think is critical, you know, where we started off with Justin's question, right, in verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?
Right.
So this whole idea of grace is not about mm-hmm. how the law doesn't apply to you, mm-hmm. right, but it's how you're treated when you break it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this whole idea that I'm under grace, this idea, well, if I make a mistake, this is how I'm treated. My motivation is no longer that type of slavery, where sin is like you get no pleasure unless you follow
right.
through. But you're going to get the guilt. You're going to get the shame, right, which he references there in verse 22, mm-hmm. where he's, I'm sorry, verse 21. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed?
Mm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's like you were in a situation where you were becoming, you were doing things that you were ashamed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And sin was like, that's the only pleasure you're going to get.
Mm.
Do the things that bring you shame. Versus in Christ, mm-hmm. he's saying, even if you make a mistake and do something you're ashamed of, you're under grace.
Mm-hmm.
So right. the way I'm going to treat you now is to encourage you along towards righteousness
right.
to build that inclination.
Mm-hmm. And the joy is that, you know, we have the motivation of God being so beautiful and amazing and the grace that comes to us. And part of that grace is, I believe, what we see here in verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, mm-hmm. that the body sin might be done away with, that we should be no longer slaves of sin. So what it's talking about here is your old life, including your sinful inclination and everything that has to do with sin, is crucified with Christ. Now, how does crucifixion happen? You cannot crucify yourself. Someone else has to crucify you, right? Mm. And so, to use this imagery, same in Galatians chapter 2, Paul talks about, you know, I've been crucified with Christ.
Right.
What he's saying is that someone else is going to do that for you. God is going to work in you a miracle where you are no longer a slave to sin.
So even you putting away yourself cannot be done by yourself.
No, it is
external
God's
entity
power.
Needs to do that for you.
However, you have a choice. You can try, and that's legalism, but you can let God, you know, do that work of crucifying your old self unto Jesus.
So trying to kill yourself, spiritually speaking, is legalistic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I love, you know, I love in verse 15, what then there? Mm-hmm. It doesn't just come there. Verse 1 of chapter 6, mm-hmm. what shall we say then?
Mm-hmm.
That comes on the heels of talking about this marvelous gift of what mm-hmm. Jesus Christ mm-hmm. has done for us. In the light of all of that God has given to us, in the light of His grace,
right?
How are we going to respond to that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the sad reality is for a lot of Christians, and for me, for a long time in my Christian experience, it was, okay, I'll repent just before Jesus comes. You know, like, I know Jesus loves me, so I'm going to do this and then I'll say sorry after, you know, because I know He'll forgive me, you know.
Right.
But then He's saying, you're missing the point.
Yes.
You're missing the point.
You don't understand the gospel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And He's saying, that is a misunderstanding of the grace of God.
Yes.
You have not grasped, comprehended what God's grace is trying to do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to bring you to the place where I'm not even trying to sin and then repent at the end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He wants to change that in us,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
And, I mean, that is beyond our, you know, our minuscule conceptions of what Christianity is. Mm-hmm. It's not just coming to God mm-hmm. at the end as a forgiveness vending machine, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
God wants to change us mm-hmm. so that we're no longer enslaved to those things.
Let me ask the three of you this, because I've been listening to three of you here, and you guys are, and this is awesome. Like, I'm sold. And the three of you sound like some QVC, you're selling some product, and I want it, okay?
Yes.
It's yours.
What do we have to do on a practical end? I mean, Jonathan's saying, you can't even try to do it. You can't even, so do I just kind of lay there, and then, like, just, what is it that we have to do on our end? And is there anything that we can do? We have 45 seconds on the clock. Sebastian, what can we do? The answer that I'm getting is that yes. we need to dwell on Jesus, choose Jesus,
yes.
and rely on Jesus.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Really? We're gonna come back to this topic on our next episode because we don't have enough time. But hopefully that's you've been convinced by these three people just as much as they've convinced me. Hey, we need this. We need this death experience. You cannot do it yourself. And we need to have the Lord Jesus resurrected in us. His word, His spirit, His life in us. That's my prayer. Hopefully for all of you as well. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you in this study of Romans. Join us next week as we look at Romans chapter 7. See you next time.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.